in describing the period of Yemei HaMashiach, the Chachamim put a lot of emphasis on the physical miracles, the Gashmias Dikonisim, that will occur then. For example, we find in Parshas Buchukoisai, the Pasuk says, V'nas naharetz yivulav ve'etz ha'sada yitain piryei. The land will give forth its produce, and the trees will give forth its fruit. The Chazal in Teiras Kehanim list several miracles, begashmias, we learn in Darshan from this Pasuk. The land, when they will produce its fruit, the same day that you'll sow the seed, that very same day, it will produce its produce. And the same thing with the trees, the Chazal say. The same day that you plant the trees, that very same day, the tree with its fruit will grow from the ground. Like in the times of Adam HaRishon. Also, the Chachamim say there that the tree itself, the wood of the tree, the bark, the branches, will also be edible, just like the fruits. And also, even non-fruit-bearing trees will also give fruit. We also find in Masechet Ksubis, the Gemara says that when Mashiach comes, Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, will give forth ready-to-eat bread, clothing, also clothing that is ready to wear. Also, it says that the stalks of wheat will grow as tall as palm trees, and that the kernel of wheat will be as big as two kidneys of a big ox put together. A whole list of different things of begashmias that will take place. La'asad lavei. The question is why? Why do the Chachamim put so much emphasis and elaborate on the gashmias dika aspect of la'asad lavei? We know that when Mashiach comes, the Yidden will be in a very heightened spiritual state and level. The Rambam, towards the end of Hilchas Melachim, amongst other things, writes that in that time of Yemei HaMashiach, the world's occupation, Esek, the pursuit of the people of the world, will be only to know Hashem. That will be their sole pursuit. And as the Rambam continues, that as a result, the Yidden at that time will be great sages, and they will gain a comprehension and understanding of their Creator. Seeing as that they're going to be in such a high spiritual state, what significance does Gashmizdik miracles and physical delicacies have? When a person is so high in Ruchnias, Gashmias doesn't bear much significance. Obviously, the Gashmias Dikanisim will take place then, and it will definitely help so that we should be free from distractions, from having to make money, and so forth. We'll be free to learn Torah because the Gashmias Dikar needs we have will be taken care of. But to put so much emphasis on the Gashmias, as if to imply that there is some significance inherent to Gashmias, what is the significance? A simple approach would be to explain that the Avodah of Lishma is a very lofty Avodah. Most people aren't holding there. Like the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva, that serving Hashem Lishma is a maila gedayla ma'id, ve'ein kol chacham zeiche lezeh, a very lofty level. Not every person is even zeiche to serving Hashem Lishma. Like the Rambam continues, avol tchilas ha'avoydeh hi avoydeh shalei lishma. Beginning of avoydeh, the beginning of avoydeh is to serve Hashem shalei lishma. Most people need to hear about reward in order to encourage them to do Torah and mitzvahs. And likewise, most people relate more to gashmias than to ruchnias. And that's why the Torah emphasizes the gashmiastika rewards over the ruchniastika rewards, so as to encourage people to do Torah and mitzvahs. And by the same token, b'negei la'asad lavei, the Chachamim choose to elaborate on the physical miracles that will take place, la'asad lavei, so as to encourage the mass of the Jewish nation to long for Mashiach and to do whatever they can to bring Mashiach. A similar question can be asked on the topic of schar mitzvahs, reward for doing mitzvahs. In the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai, the pasuk describes the reward we will receive for keeping Torah and mitzvahs properly. Most of the rewards described there are physical rewards. I will give your rain in its time. The land will yield its produce. The trees will give forth its fruit, and so on. Only towards the end, the Torah adds a ruchnis dikeschar, that we will have olam haba, that Hashem will walk with us in Gan Eden. Why does the pasuk elaborate so much on the gashmias dikeschar, as if to make that the ikar and the main schar? We know that the main schar, the main reward for mitzvahs, is olam haba, ruchnis, being connected to Hashem through the mitzvahs. And the gashmias dikeschar is merely secondary. Why then so much elaboration, davka and specifically on the gashmias dikeschar? An even stronger question can be asked, why bechlal does the Torah have to even mention schar mitzvahs? What schar we get from mitzvahs? We know that the ultimate form of doing a mitzvah is doing the mitzvah for the sake of Hashem, lishma, for its own sake, because Hashem said so. Shalai amenas lekabel pras, not for the sake of receiving reward. Let the Torah not mention schar at all, so that when we do the mitzvahs, it should be lishma, for its own sake. This approach, however, is not fully satisfactory. On the pasuk, in the words im bechukosai teilechu, if you will go in my ways, Rashi writes shetiyu amelim b'Torah, that you will toil in learning Torah. The person we're describing here is a person deeply devoted to learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs. Furthermore, on the words b'chukosai, the Svarim bring down that it's miloshen chakika, etched, engraved, meaning that we're talking here about a person in whom Torah and mitzvahs is engraved. Torah and mitzvahs is engraved in his heart and in his whole being. Chassidus explains there are two types of writing, oisiyas haksiva and oisiyas hachakika. You can write letters by taking ink and parchment and writing the letters with ink on parchment. Even after you write the letters with ink on parchment, the ink and the parchment still remain two separate entities, merely that they come together. Oisiyas chakika, however, is when you etch, when you engrave letters on a stone or on a rock. Once you write, etch and engrave letters into a stone, all you have is the stone. The letters are one with the stone, not just like ink with parchment. Here there's nothing more than the stone itself. Oisiyas chakika, therefore, indicate complete union. And when we say that the person is so deeply connected to Torah that it's chokuk in him, we mean that there is nothing more than the Torah in his metzias, his whole metzias and mahus, his whole existence and being, the very fabric of his being, is Torah and mitzvahs. Nothing more. That's his whole identity. A person at this level certainly is holding by lishma, learning and doing mitzvahs for its own sake. So then, why does the Torah then mention and elaborate on the gashmias tikuschar for such a person? To understand this, we must understand first what Torah is for a yid. The pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim says, Ki hu chayecha v'erech yamecha. Torah is a yid's life and the length of his days. Also, by night, in Maariv, we say, Ki heim chayenu v'erech yameinu. Torah is our life. Meaning, Torah is not just an important aspect of a Yid's life. Torah is the life of a Yid. The Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah expresses this point with an analogy. The Gemara writes, man is like the fish of the sea. For just like the fish of the sea die as soon as they come onto dry land, likewise, man will die if he separates himself from Torah and Mitzvahs. Every person is made up of both a guf and a nefesh, a body and a soul. The body, we see, has various different limbs. You have the head, the brain, which is a more sophisticated and delicate organ, which is therefore associated with the more subtle koyach of seichel, intellect, which makes the human being unique from all other living beings. Then you have feet, a coarse limb associated with a simple koyach, an ability to walk, koyach hiluch. Even an animal can walk. You have higher levels and lower levels. There's a difference between the foot and the head. Yet, when we speak about the life force of the soul, the etzem ha-chayus ha-nafshi of the person himself, the person who has the intellect, the person who has the ability to walk, the very core of the person, he finds himself everywhere in his body equally. The same person that's in the head, that very same person is in the foot. No more is he in his head than he is in his foot. The core of the person, the mahus of the person, is everywhere in his body equally. We find in the Gemara in Masechta Gittin, the story, there was a person, upon receiving good tidings, his foot became fatter. Chassidus explains that the koyach ha-tainug, pleasure, is associated with the core essence of the person, with the mahus of the person. And because the person received great pleasure from the good tidings, it didn't just affect him in his head and his awareness. He didn't just feel the pleasure in his head. Even his foot felt the pleasure to the point that it became fat, fatter than before. Also, we see when a person feels joy, he's besimcha. We find a person can be besimcha, but it's enough for him to just feel it in his head, or to talk about it, to talk about the joy he's feeling. Then you have a person who's so besimcha, the simcha, the joy, permeates him so thoroughly to the point that not just does he think about the simcha or speak about the simcha, you see it in all his actions. His simcha is so noticeable in all his actions to the point that he even gets up and starts dancing with his feet. This is because the simcha permeated him so deeply, it reached his core, his mahus, his etzem ha-nefesh, which is associated with every part of the body equally. It makes him even get up and dance with his feet. This then is what is meant when we say that the Torah is our life, chayenu, meaning that the Torah is our very essence. And because it's our very essence, it's who we are, its influence is not just relegated to our spiritual life, to when we learn Torah in Beis Medrash, when we daven in Shul, on Shabbos, holy days, on the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, on the head, our lofty part of our lives. But its influence reaches even to our most basic activities, eating, sleeping, our recreational activities, during the mundane weekdays, all of it is inspired by Torah. Even the foot, the lonely part of our lives, the simple parts of our life, is all influenced and inspired by the Torah. Because Torah is our essence. It therefore permeates all aspects of a Yid's life equally. So now we can appreciate why the Torah elaborates on the schar gashmi, on the physical rewards for doing Torah and mitzvahs. We know that the schar we receive, the reward we receive for our avodah and service of Hashem, is measure for measure, midah k'neged midah, which means that the reward we receive reflects the kind of service we did to earn that reward. If the reward for Torah would just be ruchniyastika reward, spiritual schar, that would only show that the Torah influences a Yid's ruchnius, his neshama. But the fact that the schar is also in gashmius, that proves that the Torah is so much a part of who we are, in our very essence, that it even affects our gashmius. And that's why the schar we receive for that avodah of doing Torah is also gashmius. The fact that the schar is in gashmius reflects the fact that the Torah is our very essence, to the point that it affects our ruchnius and gashmius equally. Adaraba, because it's bichukaisai, because Torah is chokok on him, it's engraved in his heart, it's etched in him, he is one with the Torah, that's why the schar for this Torah that he's learning is also in gashmius. This then is also the reason that the Chachamim chose to emphasize the physical miracles that will happen la'asad lavei. Also, to emphasize how the Torah will be so much a part of Yidden at that time, will be so engraved in the hearts of Yidden, that the Yidden will be so thoroughly dedicated to Torah at that time, which will then be reflected in the fact that even the physical world will be affected by the blessing brought out through their Torah and mitzvahs.